Cold mornings, frosty windows. Yep, it's that time of year. So treat yourself and start your day with a cup of fresh roasted Sterling Roastery coffee, sourced from around the world and roasted multiple times a week for unbeatable freshness. It's the kind of warm-up every sports fan deserves this holiday season. And right now, you can win one of three $50 Sterling gift cards, perfect for gifting or building your own winning lineup of Java in the morning. Enter today at sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways so you can wake up, warm up, and Sterling up this holiday season. Again, that's sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways.
125 defining moments, one legendary league. This is Darren Hayes of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, and a great book is out right now, NFL Moments, 125 Icons and Stories That Define the NFL. It's a definitive visual history of the National Football League, packed with iconic images and untold stories behind the game's biggest plays and its greatest players. From the early legends like Red Grange to today's stars like Patrick Mahomes, this book is a touchdown for fans who crave more than just stories. So give your football bookshelf a Hall of Fame upgrade or snag a holiday gift for that NFL history buff on your shopping list. Pick up NFL Moments, available now at your favorite bookseller. We have a big show coming up tonight. We're going to be talking to Timothy B. Brown of footballarchaeology.com about the referees and the point system. Tim's up in a moment to tell us all about it.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal of positive football history. And welcome to Tuesday. It's footballarchaeology.com day. Timothy P. Brown of that great site is with us. Tim, welcome back to the Pigpen.
Hey, Darren. Good to see you as always. And looking forward to making a few points tonight.
Well, you're scoring points already because you're segueing into one of your tidbits that you wrote recently titled Referees Awarding Points. Now, great words in that three-word title. You know, referee, great word, points, that's great. And awarding, you know, very, very positive. I like this upbeat title you have.
Yeah, I like to, you know, uplift people. That's kind of who I am. That's what I'm about. So let's spread the news, huh?
Well, there's something uplifting, but I have to get boots on to get through it.
Yeah, so it's one of those things, you know, people don't think about, but, you know, it's one of those weird things that I do, you know, from time to time. But you don't think about the fact that football has some situations where the officials and the referee specifically can award points to one team or another that's on the field. I mean, it's not quite like a balk in baseball, but, you know, it's something along those. Well, you know, so if bases were loaded and you call a balk, you've just awarded a point, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's something akin. But in football, the first one that I'm aware of where that was the case, there was a game that I wrote a tidbit about it, a high school game in 1899 in the Philadelphia area, Germantown Academy and somebody else. And so like Haverford or something. Anyways, they had an instance where somebody threw it was actually an illegal forward pass, if I'm remembering correctly, but one way or another, the player on the one team was behind the goal line and committed a penalty. And so the referee ruled it a safety. And that actually wasn't in the rules at the time. But he said, okay, basically, this is what happened. I'm going to award a safety. And so, boom, 2 points. Now, it just so happened that, you know, some of the people who lived in the area and whose kids, I think, maybe even attended the schools, it wasn't the NCAA yet, but they were rules committee members. So, you know, it's just, there were people in the Philadelphia area that became aware of this game and this ruling. And so they raised it, when they're establishing the rules for 1900. And so they put in the rules that if you commit a penalty while your team is behind your own goal line, that's a safety. And so, you know, and that's been the case in one, you know, I mean, it's changed a little bit, I think, here and there, but basically that rule's been in effect ever since. And, but it, that's one of those where a specific incident led, demonstrated there's a hole in the rule. So they plugged the hole, right? And they said, here's what, you know, here's what it is moving on. So then a reader raised a point, you know, he asked me a question about, he was doing research on 1920s football, and he said, you know, I've come across situations where a team is going for the extra point and a penalty is committed, and they either award the point or the team, they award the point if the penalty is on the defense, or if the offense committed the penalty, then they lose the opportunity for the extra point. So rather than enforcing the yardage penalty as normal. And it was like, yeah, well, that was the rule. So it, you know, in 1922, when they first added the opportunity to run or pass for the extra point, not just kick it, they added that as a rule. And so whether you kick past or ran, if there's a penalty, that decided it one way or the other. So, and then they took that away in 1931. So it's just one of those things that it only lasted for a little bit, but because he asked that question, then I was like, okay, well, what were the other instances of that? So another one was the, you know, the safety behind the goal line, which, you know, continues to this day. And then there are two others. So one is, if, let's just say it's towards the end of the game and you're close to scoring, and the clock's running, if the other team can't just deliberately commit penalties to keep the clock, you know, this is kind of a goofy situation, but it, you know, it can happen. And it happened in like an NFL playoff game in 2024, where the team was warned because they kept committing penalties to kill time. Right. And if you deliberate, so basically the officials have the opportunity to award points if a team deliberately delays the game in by, you know, committing one penalty after another. So that was, you know, that's kind of an interesting one, but it's a judgment call, right? You know, at what point do you say, oh, that's enough? Mm-hmm. And then, but the other one, which is an interesting one, is what's called unfair acts. And that's one where the NFL and NCAA both have, and they have slightly different terminology, but the principle is that the rules don't cover everything. So there may be things that pop up during a game that happen, and the referee has the power to make any judgment, any ruling that he deems necessary in the interest of fairness. And they can call games, you know, they can call forfeits, you know, things like that, but they can also award points. And so the classic example, and it's happened multiple times, is, and I'll do a separate tidbit on this in the not too distant future, but there are instances where some guy breaks free. He's running along the sideline, going to go for the score to win the game, or, you know, at least put his team up, you know, in a dominating position. And some substitute on the bench, and in other cases, even fans, have run out onto the field and tackled the player. And so what do you do in that case? Right? I mean, the first time it happened that I'm aware of was a 1918 game between Great Lakes Naval and the Naval Academy, you know? And in that case, football didn't have a rule to handle that, but the referee was leaning towards saying, I'm giving the points to Great Lakes after being, the guy from Navy had tackled him. But that decision got a lot easier when the commandant of the Naval Academy came onto the field and said, "I don't care what the rule is, you're giving them the points." Right? So he was making sure his team didn't commit, this get away with this unfair act. So, which was pretty cool, actually. So, anyways, that's again, it's happened multiple times, but that's an instance where the referee can say, had this not happened, this unfair act, team A would have scored on team B. And so that becomes the third way that I'm aware of, anyways, where the officials can award points.
I've got another one for you too.
Really?
And I'm pretty sure I'm correct on this. I know it's a high school rule, and I think it's a college rule too. If you have a team that doesn't have enough players, if somebody gets disqualified or injured in the middle of the game, doesn't matter what the score is, and they have to end the game in a forfeiture, the score will go down as 2-0 to the team
Okay.
that still had things. So you're technically, if it's a 0-0 game, or it could be taken away points. If it's, 21-7 or something, it could be a 2-0 game to end it. So, but yeah, I have never, in 27 years of officiating, I've read quite a bit in the case books that you're saying, the application of, the referee and his judgment can have anything that's not covered by the rules. I've never seen it for scoring points. I've never been on a game where that's happened. I've had other instances where you had to make some rulings. I did some myself, and it's never a pleasant thing because somebody's mad because it's not in the rule book, and you got a lot of explaining to do, later.
Do
So,
you remember any specific instances?
well, I had a team come out, and this was probably about 15 years ago, and it's right when college teams were starting to wear off colors. You remember, it was always like your darks were dark and your whites were white.
Yeah.
Well, I had a home team warm up in navy blue shirts. The other team was in white, all in white. And they went in right before the game started. They always go back in the locker room for a few minutes. They come out in all light gray. So you have the home team in light gray and a dark helmet, the away team in a dark helmet, all white.
Yeah.
And you had to, and it's like the biggest high school game in this area every year. It's the two biggest schools by far in our area. And it's, you have 7,500 people in a stadium, and you have to make a decision. And so I had to rule on that. And I had another time where I had a team that was getting in a first
So you tell
half.
them go back in and put on your blue shirts.
We ended up playing. I probably should have did that, but we.
Okay.
But once you get to that, now you have a 15-yard penalty for delay a game, because there's no way they would have been out in time for the clock would have hit zeros before they came back out. So I probably did. So I probably should have did what you said and just threw the 15 yards. It would have been easier. But it was a big game, and I didn't want to influence the game with 15 yards to start it because this is a rivalry game, And it's one of the ones that they sort of forced me to do. I went to one of the schools. That's where I graduated from, and my kids all graduated from the other school. So it was a bad situation for me anyway, no matter what I did. Anyway, but I had another case where a team, because there's what it's commonly called the mercy rule. And in high school, 35 points or greater difference in the second half, you go to a running clock, get the game over to do it. It's like 35-point rule is what it's technically called. Well, I had at the end of the first quarter a 47-0 or something game. It was last game of the season. You had the best team in the league against the worst team. Both teams came out at the quarter and said, "Hey, can you?" I mean, for the losing teams, because my kids don't want to be here. It's rain. It's like 36 degrees, raining. It's just miserable. Nobody's in the stands. Nobody wants to be there. The team on the losing team doesn't want his kids to get hurt because they're just giving up. And the other team getting ready to go to the playoffs, they don't want anybody to get hurt. And so they're both asking me, can you just, whoever you can do to get this going? I said, well, if two coaches are in agreement, we'll start running the clock now. And, technically you're not supposed to do it till after halftime. So we ran the clock, but it was the best thing for that game. And both everybody wanted that to happen, do it, except the administration of that I have to answer to. I had to go through a bunch of meetings on that and everything. But the coaches came to my defense and said, no, we wanted that, and we're glad he did it. So that's two instances I can come off where I had to make a decision like that. And I've been on other games where I wasn't the referee, and the referee had to make a decision, and you know, we went with it because he was the ref. You know, he's in charge of the game.
But you know, but the cool thing is that I'm sure there's some places where some referee has abused the power, but you know, that's not the way they're built generally, right? And so it's a good power to have, right? Because you never know what's gonna pop up, you know.
Yes.
Even like acts of God kind of stuff. You don't know, you know, what can happen. So
and you see things. I mean, I read about it every couple of years, where some lunatic will drive their car through the middle of a football field when a game's going on, and you know, maybe there's a play on. You know, thank God nobody gets hurt or nothing, but still, it affects the play, and. You know, you have to reset clocks and everything like that. It's really not a rule to do that, but common sense will tell you to get this thing, so to get the game to be fair. Yeah. So,
well,
you know, I have another instance. We were on a muddy field, a rainy weekend. It rained for like a week or so. One end of the field was underwater, basically, which we probably should have not played the game. It wasn't underwater, but it was just miserable. You didn't want to be short yardage inside the 5-yard line because it was just a mud hole. So when teams would go over the 50, we were flipping the field, say, okay, change sides. You know, it's just like you do it a quarter and put them on, you know, the 48 going the other way to play at the good end of the field all the time. And nobody was unhappy with that. Both coaches were happy. The quarterbacks and centers were ecstatic that we did that, and running backs, so they're not laying in the mud. But yeah, we did that to keep a game going, but it was like a JV game. So yeah, you get fun stuff out there. That's for sure. It's a never a dull moment in Stripes.
No, not at all.
But it's also never a dull moment on Football Archaeology, because you quite often have some great items of football history, just like the one you talked about today, and you call them your tidbits. And Tim, why don't you tell us where people can enjoy these great tidbits?
Yeah, just go to the site, footballarchaeology.com. It's a Substack site, so you can subscribe, get an email every time that I publish a new article. You can also just follow me on Substack, and it'll pop up. You'll be able to access it whenever you want. And you can also follow me on Blue Sky, because I publish every time. Every time I publish a new article, I link it on Blue Sky.
All right. Well, Tim, we really appreciate you coming on tonight and sharing this great piece of history and celebrating the referee and Stripes around America.
Yeah, that's
and seems through like history. It's so become, this is the good guys are finally, awarded some time here. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
So does the audience.
You guys see the world through black and white, and so that's good.
If we see it all. So, Tim, thank you very much, and we'd love to talk to you again next week.
Very good. Thank you.
That's all the football history we have today, folks. Join us back tomorrow for more of your football history. We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
You did not see their faces on the Wheaties boxes, nor did they have the headlines, but they were breaking barriers, one pitch at a time. The integration of minor league baseball, a history and player register, 1946 to 1959, by Rick Swain and Gary C. Fink, shines a light on the overlooked heroes who paved the way for future legends. From dusty bus rides to hostile crowds, these players fought for a place in a game that did not want to see them win. More than history, it's a tribute to courage, perseverance, and the power of a game to change. Honor their legacy today and grab a copy of The Integration of Minor League Baseball at your favorite bookseller.